Okay, Chaver, so Parsha Tolos is a Parsha that's extra close to our hearts because it's the main discussion of a story of twins who are very different than each other. Yitzchak has, together with Rivka, Yaakov and Esav, and from the time that they are in utero, they're already very different. You have Rivka passing by the base of Avodah Zarah, and Esav wants to come out. She passes by the base medrash, Shem Ve'Aver, and Yaakov wants to come out. So there's already a clash inside. And it seems as if they're also rushing to see who's going to be the one to come out first. And Yaakov is grabbing onto Esav's heel before he even emerges to try to get his chance to be first. So the differences can already be noted in utero. I was once talking to a friend of mine, an old chavrus of mine, had twins. And he said he happened to mention, I heard this through my Rebbe, but Trisky mentioned that this chavrus of mine had told him that his twins, he has, I think, twin girls, their personalities were already noticeable in utero before they were born. And years later, you could still see how the personalities, how the way they behaved before they were born, when they were in their mother's womb, reflected their behaviors when they were older. You know, you can have one baby that moves around a lot during pregnancy, another baby that's more stationary, and you can see that as they grow, their midos are not that different than they were when they were inside. So when I heard that, I said to myself that that's actually, I can say that about my own twins. The way that they behaved when they were not yet born was very much a foreshadowing of how they are today. I shared that once with a Talmud who was in the shir a number of years ago, and he told me that in the family lore, so there's three brothers in the family, and for whatever medical reasons, each one of them, when they were in their mother's womb, required amniocentesis. You guys know what amniocentesis is? It's a way of testing the fetus for certain genetic conditions or other medical conditions. And what they do is they insert a very long needle that goes into the amniotic sac and extracts some fluid, and then they analyze the fluid, and then they can learn about the child before the baby's born. So each of the three brothers required amniocentesis. And you know, when the needle goes inside the mother, they watch on the ultrasound, on the screen, of what's going on inside. And that helps them direct the needle and the removal of the specimen. So they said each one of the children responded differently to encountering a needle, entering the womb. One of them embraced the needle, it was like reacting, you know, welcoming the needle. The other one like turned around and like, you know, moved away from the needle. And one of them just sort of stayed still. And they said 20 years later, each one of those reactions was very much a reflection of how that person turned out. And it's just like, it's startling because it shows you, like, obviously, you know, life is about change and growth and movement, but there's so much that's pre-programmed about who we're going to be, at least in terms of not just who we're going to be, maybe it'd be better to say, what tichunos, what characteristics are inherent in our makeup that will then present the challenges we'll face when we encounter different life experiences, that's already dictated. And this is actually reflected in a statement by the Tosfos HaRosh. It comes from a Gemara in Nida. The Gemara says that before a child is born, the little pre-genetic material that will ultimately become the fetus, the embryo, is brought before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's brought before the Malachim who are in charge of this pregnancy, and there's somewhat of a determination of what, again, characteristics the child is going to have that's already decided in Shemayim. And the Gemara says, wait a minute, what about HaKol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Mi Yirat Shemayim? Isn't there a principle that it's in your hands? Right? Hashem doesn't tell you you're going to do this, you're going to do that. I don't understand. You have to be tzaddik. You have to choose to be a tzaddik, or you can choose to be a rasha. Bechir chafshis all comes down to the decisions you make. So what's going on? And for that matter, also taken into the mix is the notion of mazel. We talk about, other Gemaras say, well, if a person is born under a certain star, so that also dictates who he's going to be, what he's going to be. If a person, you know, a more famous example of the Gemara is that if a person is born under the influence, different times of the week, of the month, when certain stars or certain planets are more influential, halacha and Yiddishkeit, they do acknowledge some impact of astrology within the framework of Yiddishkeit. So if you're born under Mars, Mars is a red planet, right? Okay, the non-Jewish mythology that's associated with, it's not a coincidence, Mars was the god of war, right? So it's this red, angry, violent sort of persona. So the Gemara doesn't talk about Mars in mythology, but the Gemara says that person has more of a propensity towards blood. And he could be a dangerous, violent, aggressive person. So you know what the Gemara says? The Gemara says, teach him how to be a moel. Teach him how to be a shochet. And this way he's going to channel some of his tchunos in a positive direction. So listen to what the Tos Rosh says. Tos Rosh says, in response to this question, I understand. He's a tzaddik or he's a rasha based on his own actions. And here we have Gemara that indicate that it's predetermined. Answers the Tos Rosh, Yesh Lomar. Efshar shemazolo nota ve'echer min adrochem. It's true, his mazel and some chelak of his ultimate personality will be predetermined, but it's going to point in one direction or the other. Mikol makom biyadahu leschazik al yitzro. It's up to him, and it is entirely within his power over the course of his lifetime to fight back or to overcome or to strengthen himself to go against his nature. So yes, we're born with certain characteristics, and yes, fast forward years later, you may still be able to recognize those characteristics. And when it came to Yaakov and Esav, that was certainly true. But it's impossible for a person to say that, oh, that's just who I am. That's how I was born. Those are my genes. And you know what? Too bad. That's who I always was, and that's who I'm going to be. So I'm not going to bother changing. I just have to accept this is where I am, and this is where I'm always going to remain. Because on the contrary, anything that we're placed into could be circumstantial. It could be, like we're saying, internal. And the way that I'm built, the way I'm programmed, there is no challenge that halacha requires of me, that the Torah requires me, that I cannot overcome. Even if a person has a certain leaning a certain way, you can't say objectively, a more extreme formulation, we're not going to get into this, but to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created me and it's impossible for me to keep the Torah or keep an aspect of the Torah because this is how I was programmed, that would also undermine the notion of free will and Schar V'Onesh that are essential parts of Torah. But I may be faced with a very, very difficult challenge to overcome those leanings, but they're in my hands to do so. The Vilna Gaon says in Mishle, he writes, Iker chiyus ha'adam hu shviras hamidos. V'imlav lama lo chayim. That's the Vilna Gaon's words. The main purpose of a person's life is simply to break his midos, meaning to change his nature, the way that he came into this world. V'imlav lama lo chayim. And if not, that's pretty strong words. If that's not what he's here for, then there's no point in living. That's what the Vilna Gaon viewed as the most important, we'll say, journey that a person is on and what he's attempting to achieve. You know, the Rabbi Sholem Salanter was famous for stating that it's harder to break one bag Nida than it is to learn all Shas. And, you know, I was at MetLife Stadium and there was tens of thousands of people, 100,000 people, lots of people who finish Shas. Lots of people who finish Shas. If you ask how many of those people have also conquered midos that they've worked every year and have sat in shul on Yom Kippur saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, next year is going to be better, right? We all have that. You can finish Shas more easily than you can finish apprehending this midah. I have a midah. I can say this past summer was 19 years that I've been working to try to conquer, and I'm still not there yet. Still not there yet. I haven't given up. But 19 years is about half my life. So the Vilna Gaon says, all of your life is worth it for breaking your midos. That's what our goal is. The Noam Elimelech, Velmach Milzhinsky said in a slightly different way. He said, Ikur Briyasa Adam, he Shvirasa Teva. The main purpose in a person's creation is Shvirasa Teva. That's likewise the Chazon Ish. I think he says that all of the 48 kinyanim, the 48 ways that a person acquires Torah, each one of those kinyanim, why do you call it a kinyan? So I'm darshaning a little bit more than he says. Well, every day in Shemana Esra we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kone Shemayim Va'aretz. Right? What does it mean, Kone Shemayim Va'aretz? Kone means to buy or to purchase, right? To acquire. Did God acquire the world from someone? No. Right? He didn't buy it. He owns it. But the word kinyan in that context, there's another type of kinyan. When you create something, it is yours, right? That, in a certain sense, that is the most profound form of ownership. When you bring it into being, the Memches Kinyanim, the 48 Kinyanim, are 48 forms of creation. 48 forms of recreating who I am from my natural tendencies. And that's the goal. Chazon Ish says every one of those 48 Kinyanim, they simply come down to breaking my inherent nature, that in utero, you could have defined me right there, but it's, I'm capable with my own qualities of doing much more than I would imagine. Just want to finish off on a related note. A related note, there's a famous story from Naftali Amsterdam. Naftali Amsterdam was one of the top disciples of Reb Shlomo Salanter, who was, of course, the founder of the Muslim movement. And he once said to his Rebbe, he said, Rebbe, you know what? I'm working so hard. If I only had the mind of the Shagas Aryeh, and I had the heart of the Yisod B'Shor Shavoda, and I had your Midos, then I could truly be a servant of Hashem. And Shlomo said, no. He said, Naftali, with your head, with your heart, and with your Midos, that's all you need. Sometimes we think like I see another person who maybe has achieved more, and I want to be there, and I want to be like that guy. I want to be able to have the same self-control, the same focus, the ability to learn, the ability to daven, the ability to wake up in the morning as someone else that I know. Hashem doesn't ask of us to have something that we don't have. So on the one hand, we're saying that whatever we're born with doesn't make it impossible for me to get there, to change it, and that has the focal point of my Avodas Hashem, to look at where I feel stuck and break my nature. But at the same time, it is inside of me to use what I have to achieve. But just, mom's the last point. I was talking to one of the chashuva members of the shir yesterday, and he asked me, he said, Rebbe, I need to work on my patience. How do I become a more patient person? So I told him about an avodah that I'm working on with these guys I learned with Wednesday night. Wednesday night we have this vod of people who are alumni. We have about 15 people, anywhere from the age of like 26 to 39. And we get together every Wednesday night and we talk about specific areas of Avodas Hashem. And we meet back the following week. We also have a WhatsApp group, but we talk about, okay, let's outline a very specific thing to try to conquer this week. And then we go around the table at the end of the week, all right, you know, like what were the challenges? How'd it go? Were you successful, not successful? So what we've been working on for the last month is not speaking before counting to two or three before the words come out of your mouth. We talk about this separately. There's a whole different conversation. But whenever you're in a conversation, even if it looks a little weird, pause for 2 seconds before something comes out of your mouth. Because every one of us knows that we all the time we say things, and just as it's coming out of our mouth, wish I didn't say that. But if you thought for 2 seconds, 11, I believe 11 of the al-chaits, a few dozen al-chaits we say on Yom Kippur, 11 of them are about things we were not supposed to say. And it's not even Lashon Hara. Some of them are like, al-chait shechat al-venecha, betipshus peh, because I said something foolish. Right? So many things. So are just because I didn't think for 2 seconds. What? And I'm telling you, I've been working on this for a month. It is so hard. It is so hard to pause for 2 seconds when it's your turn to speak. You know what? Because my nature is, I want to talk. I want to respond. I have something to say. I want my chelik of the conversation. I want to share my ideas. Life is simply about holding back from your natural inclination and being in control. And that's what we're talking about. There's midos that I'm born with. It's natural to always want to jump back in and keep the flow going. Just break from the natural push of whatever it happens to be. To throw the food down your throat before you make a bracha with 10 seconds of thought. To wake up as soon as the alarm goes off, so I'm in shul on time and early. Anything that you do that breaks from your natural inclination makes you stronger and more capable of reaching your goals. And that's what it is. Because wherever we start, we were like that before we were even born. But how many of us want to die the same way that we came into this world? All about changing our nature, but understanding that whoever we are, we're always like that. And that makes it the journey all the more poignant to realize that this is my mission. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Say.